Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time for Race Chat Live with Chris Creighton and Craig Moore.
All right, race fans. Glad to have y'all here on this beautiful May 31st Monday, a day where we remember those who've given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, a moment where we reflect the blood that's been shed for this great privilege. I'm not a service member. I have somebody in my family who was, of course, our fearless leader, Mr. CJ Sports. He served this country. All respect to that and to him. He understands better than any of us the sacrifices that some have made. We just want to remember those and not forget what today actually stands for. But it is a beautiful Monday here in Tumsuba, Mississippi. Wonderful cooler weather. Most of the time we're already jacked up in the upper 90s. We were in the upper 80s today. Beautiful weather. We can talk all day long about about the race Sunday, but I think we
would have some bitch. Somebody turn the heat on.
Somebody, all we would talk about for 2 hours is Kyle Larson.
Hey, Chris, can you turn the heat up, please?
Yeah. Is it cold up there?
Hell yeah. We went from 80s last week to 40s and 50s this week. Mother Nature forgot to take her bipolar medication.
Where in the heck is the coolest temperature? Yesterday it was 75 degrees in Mississippi. I mean, that's unheard of, man. It's almost June 1st. I mean, it's definitely not something that we're used to. We'll take it. Spring says, hey, wait a minute. You know, it's not officially summertime until June 21st. So, spring hanging around a little bit late this season. Oh, man, I hope that you guys got to enjoy some racing this past weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's kind of the kickoff the summer for especially us in the South. It's when the dirt tracks start heating up, big races come about, and, man, just some awesome racing on TV as well. I'm not sure, like I said, Craig Moore, Taz Taylor, we could waste the whole 2 hours talking about the 600, but all we would be doing is talking about Kyle Larson. Now that he's the best that ever was, best that ever will be, he is Mr. NASCAR. He is the hottest thing on the ticket, and we should not be surprised. The kid, he's fearless, and I tell you what, very few times do I get caught up in the superstardom of certain athletes or drivers. I'll admit I was a Dale Jr. fan for a long time. So, you know, I really, you know, I obviously had caught the bug back in my early 20s when Dale Jr. Started his career. But, man, watch Kyle Larson and watch what he had to go through this past year and a half year. Man, how can you not be a fan of that guy, right? I mean, that's what we want. We want redemption, right? We want somebody – we want that second chance for somebody to believe in us. And Kyle Larson, he got a second chance. And actually, sometimes, you know, your second chance, you come out of shit smelling like roses. That's kind of where Kyle Larson stands today in our opening dialogue. Craig, Taz, welcome to the show. Our co-host, partners in crime. Glad to have you back after your birthday. Off from us last week. Of course, we had a very interesting show last week. The numbers are up, Craig Moore, and it's all because of you and our partnership together. We've brought ourselves from 10 listeners all the way up to 100. I tell you what, Craig, Taz, it's been a long ride back to the top.
Yeah, buddy, and a lot of it has to do with all the guests that we have on, all the great guests we have on. Listen, Dakota, Dakota race, 80, the week we recapped Dakota last week, we had 85 listeners. So that's amazing. Kim Bates brought us 54 that interview. When we didn't have a guest, it was just 42. And then, the numbers are steadily climbing. I'm super excited for tonight's interview. This guy, he couldn't join us the last time he was supposed to, so we're going to have him on. Excuse me, we're going to have him on again tonight at 8:30. And he's got 2 wins at Fonda in the rookie sportsman class. And, he probably could have picked up another one this week if he hadn't had trouble. But then, you know, if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass either.
And if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk.
That's right. And if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. So yeah. Except for Taz. I don't think Taz drinks.
Taz doesn't drink. It's a good thing.
Actually, I do, but I'm selective on when and when I don't.
Yeah. It's whenever she says you can. We know how that goes.
No.
Wow. So let me tell you, I went upstairs last night at 6:15 to watch the race. Okay, I'm watching pre-race, and the next thing I know, it's 10:10, and I'm waking up and I'm turning on the race. And I made it to about 15 to go, and I zonked back out. Woke up at around 1:00, and thought, oh, the race can't be over yet. And yeah, it was over a couple hours, but. And what I did watch in the final laps was really good. And I want to give shout-outs to CJ's boy, Mr. What do you call him? Taz Bushy Bitch.
There you go.
Boosh.
Yeah. I have to say he didn't sound like a little girl this time when he bitched and complained when he did his interview. He sounded like a very... have to laugh because his wife, what's her name? Think of her name.
Well, you have to think of it this way. He was actually truly beat. Like, it's not like he had
Samantha.
Thank you. Yeah, his wife's name is Samantha, and I listened to an interview that she did on Sirius last week, and she said with their boy, and I don't remember his name either because it was important, but it wasn't at the time. She said, Kyle the dad and Kyle the racer are 2 different people. When the kid has a bad race and he gets out of the car and he throws his helmet and he acts like his father, Dad Kyle tells him that that's not good sportsmanship and he shouldn't do it. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, his son looked at him and says, but Daddy, you've done it. So... that was kind of,
I think, Dad. I'm watching you.
Yeah, I'm watching you, Dad.
Well, cause,
and that's the song I instantly thought of was Watching You by Rodney Atkins. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, he's watched you and he's seen you throw temper tantrums and storm off. So, of course, he's going to do that because that's what he learned. But it was funny to hear that there's 2 sides to Kyle Busch. There's Dad Kyle. And then there's race car Kyle. He said he just wanted to get up there and break up the 1-2-3-4 tandem. So that way they didn't do it again. Yeah, it sounds like Hendrick's cheating. But as Dale Jr. said in a podcast, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah.
And the first person to cheat. Right, exactly. The first person to cheat next year with a new car is probably going to get fined really, really heavy. And if Stuart Haas don't turn it around, they'll be the first one to get smacked really, really heavy, I believe.
I don't know. You never know. Somebody might decide to use jet fuel in the carburetor.
Oh, wow.
And there was a rumor and innuendo that Kurt Busch was leaving, that he was retiring at the end of the season, and that is not true at all. He is rumored to go show Bubba Wallace how to drive a friggin' race car. That is the rumor and innuendo that I have heard via Twitter. That may or may not be true, because, of course, we heard that he was going to be retiring, too, and that is definitely not true. So, you know, who knows? We'll have to see, unless it's a classic Vince McMahon swerve job on both.
I have no problem with opening this segment up for silly season. Taz Taylor said that. I mean, like I said, we can talk about 2 hours of Kyle Larson, or we can find another topic. We know Kyle Larson is the shiznit. We know that right now he's not only the best racer in the Hendrick organization, he's the best racer out there, period. I mean, the guy has finished worse than fourth, I think, in every damn race this season. He's been there. If he isn't the favorite to win the championship, I'm not going to say what went through my head, but, hey, you know, no telling what could happen here. I think all favorites are Kyle Larson. Taz Taylor, you said you got something about silly season.
So we all hear talk about Brad Keselowski possibly going to Roush Fenway with a possible chance of having some kind of ownership deal out of this. We've also heard Kurt Busch retiring, like Craig said earlier, but that is not true.
Right.
And he could be piloting a second 2311 car. And now with all this little shifting around going on, this is kind of, you know, starting to kick things off with silly season. And where do drivers go with some of these talks? Well, first things first is BK. BK, honestly, staying with Ford, great move. Going from Penske to Roush with possible ownership, I could see this happening. Because you have to think of it this way. Roush only has so much time left. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all.
Our owners in NASCAR are getting very old.
Yeah, and so it's time for somebody to step in. So we obviously know, once Hendrick steps down, it's basically Jeff Gordon. We already know this. So now we're looking at some of these owners saying, okay, if they were to step down, who's going to take over? If you look at Coach Gibbs, we could look at Kyle Busch. Maybe, I don't want to say Denny Hamlin just yet. I'm going to lean on Kyle Busch heavily on that one. So Roush is probably looking in that direction. So now Roush is like, where do I go? And that's where you insert BK. You put in Brad Keselowski. Let him drive one of your cars till his driving career is basically done. That's fine by me. At least Brad Keselowski knows I have a ride and I'm with the same team for God knows how long I stay in NASCAR. Regardless of how much ownership he starts off with, eventually he's going to have the team entirely, I believe.
Yeah, and I think it's a good move.
So,
and I said that last week.
So this opens up the two car if Brad moves over. Now, I don't think Roush should open a third car for this, and here's my reasoning, is because even though Ryan Newman, he's one tough gun.
He's a solid effort.
The dude can drive, but I don't see him being in NASCAR much longer. If he stays in a ride after this year, I would say 2022 is his final season. And where he would land, I couldn't even tell you right now. So I would say Newman probably gets the boot after this season. Insert BK with part ownership. Let BK run the six car. And then Penske has the two car open. So you got Brad Keselowski moving out of the way. Insert Austin Cindric. Austin Cindric pilots the two car. So now we got Ford out of the way. Let's talk Chevy/Toyota for a minute. Now we're talking Kurt Busch, possibly going to 2311 in a second car. Not a bad idea. I wouldn't say the greatest move possible, but at the same time, I can kind of see where Hamlin and MJ are kind of, could be swinging with this, maybe to have Bubba get some veteran experience and kind of have like a veteran coach, I guess you can say, because it's hard to Hamlin, it's hard for him to kind of be that coach because he's driving and racing against Bubba and not really teaming with him per se, because he's still going against him. So now you have Kurt Busch who can come in. Kurt Busch could be more of a coaching aspect per se. And now this is where you have Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch maybe working hand in hand in terms of Toyota a little bit.
Right.
Now with Kurt Busch going to 2311, that opens up the Ganassi One card. Some people may not agree with me on this one, but I'm going to go swinging for the fences. Who's going to insert themselves into the one car for Chip Ganassi? It's going to be an Xfinity driver.
Nope.
Moving up. Two cups. That's Justin Haley. And here's why I say Haley.
Nope.
He's driven the 77 car for multiple starts for a couple of years. The 77 car has had links to Ganassi, especially the Daytona 500. And Justin Haley, he does have a win in the 77 car. Everyone's going to say, oh, it's a controversial rain short win, blah, blah, blah. But either way, a win is a win. Now, you have Justin Haley moving up to the Ganassi One car. Now, people could say, oh, what about Allmendinger? What about Taz Gralla? Or blah, blah, blah.
Matty D.
This is
Matty D.
This is...
He's a perfect fit for Monster Energy. Matty D.
Well, I would say Matty D somehow manages to stay with Wood Brothers because you have Cindric moving up.
He's not going to go to the two car.
And you can't... And you
the
can't
one,
go
the
from...
one thing that Cindric needs that everybody's missing here is Cindric needs somebody who tells him to shut up and learn to how and learn to drive a car. He's not going to get that at Penske. Where is the one place a driver cannot go and talk to a crew chief any way that they want to? Name that one organization. Wood Brothers. The Wood Brothers are not going to allow a driver to sit in their race car and talk to them any which way that they want to. There's a reason why Cindric is making Austin drive for the Wood Brothers. Discipline. So there's not going to be a rearrangement. What I am curious of is whether or not Ryan Blaney goes to the number two car, you know, the staple franchise, number two, because there's no point in moving Joey Logano out of the 22. So you move Ryan Blaney to the two car, and the 12 car, maybe Ryan Newman steps foot over there. I don't know.
No.
The 12 car would be the question there. But Austin Cindric will be in the Wood Brothers 21 car next year. It's already been decided. Maybe Matty D goes to the 12 car. I see Matty D going with Monster Energy into the one car. If Matty D has the option to go to a big team like Chip Ganassi and with Monster Energy, that could be a marriage that lasts a very long time. Because Matty D is the definition of what Monster Energy is about. So that's why I feel like those two are meant to be together.
Yeah,
who's left for the 12 car is the question.
Yeah, but Kurt Busch, here's where you're kind of missing a piece here, Chris. And this is where I'm saying you could be wrong in a sense. Because Monster Energy could go with Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch was with him at Stuart Haas. Kurt Busch went to Ganassi. Monster Energy went with him. And they haven't done anything with Stuart Haas. If Kurt Busch moves over to 2311, Monster's going with him. I don't see Monster staying with Ganassi. And with DiBenedetto kind of struggling a bit in terms of sponsorship, and I guess you can say, it's going to, unless he stays in Wood Brothers 21 or somehow sneaks over to one of the Penske cars, I don't see Divi going to a different team. You already have links and sponsorships through one organization pretty much, but it's going to be hard for him to go to Ganassi. This is why I said Justin Haley, because Justin Haley has some sponsorship backup. He's probably going to bring somebody from college, and he's going to have the FOE sponsorship or whatever. I don't remember their exact name, but that's their initials. But Haley's going to step into that Ganassi one car. Colleague's going to have a cup car next year. And this is where I say have Allmendinger in the Colleague 16. Why? Veteran experience. He's got Colleague to where they are in Xfinity. So now you put a championship caliber driver in from Xfinity, move him up into a Colleague car. And Kaz Grala put in a Colleague Xfinity ride and compete for a championship there, because we know Kaz Grala's got the talent. It's just I think he needs a little bit more development in a way. So that's why I'm kind of saying Justin Haley to the one car, move Allmendinger to the Colleague Cup car. Now you have Kaz Grala step into the Colleague Xfinity ride.
Why not put Matty D in the two car?
No, because that's eventually going to be Austin Cindric's ride if Ryan Blaney doesn't take it over. That's the thing. You're not going to sign Matty D to a long term because you're not expecting Austin Cindric to spend any more than 2 years over at the Wood Brothers. So that kind of gives the organization a chance to go and maybe sign a Kurt Busch or a Ryan Blaney. I don't think Kurt Busch would make a return at the Penske race, and I'm not really sure who could possibly fill that spot there at this time. But Justin Haley, it just seems kind of stretching that Justin Haley would have that experience to go over. And I feel like Chip Ganassi in the first place is a failing organization. So if they don't do something, if they don't get a powerhouse driver or somebody who can at least represent the organization and bring some sponsorship, I really feel like they're troubled waters.
But with Haley being a younger talent versus Kurt Busch, you have Ross Chastain. We know how aggressive he is. We know how much of a talented driver he is. The question is Kurt Busch bringing him down in a way? And this is where I'm going to tie Roush with Ganassi in a way on this one. Or not Roush, RCR. You saw Austin Dillon with Ryan Newman. Austin Dillon wasn't doing much with Ryan Newman as a teammate. You brought in Tyler Reddick to RCR Cup. Look where RCR is now after Reddick's rookie season. They're running up towards the top half of the field consistently. No questions asked. You put Justin Haley with Ganassi, it might give a nod to Chastain, and they might, you know, with young competitive talents that both of them have, that could be a sense of urgency for Ganassi.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think that Chip Ganassi is like Chris said, if they don't sign somebody that can bring some horsepower and some name recognition and some wins, they're going to be short-lived in the Cup Series. I don't care how much, you know, money Chip's got invested. Sooner or later, he's got to start thinking, man, I'm losing money here. And I didn't get into this to lose money.
Especially when you see your driver go out there and be as dominant as he is, same supposed manufacturer and equipment. You know, if that doesn't make Chip Ganassi's light bulb come on, then hey, we're not giving it all here in this organization. I don't know what the best sign, because Larson, as we've said before, and I've yet to get an argument, he is the best in this car right now.
I think he's close with William Byron at the moment. William Byron's starting to shine like he deserves, I believe. Look at the number of top tens he's got. I mean, if he doesn't have more than Hamlin still, then he's got the same amount of top tens as Hamlin, and Hamlin hasn't won a race yet, and he's the top point guy.
There's no way that we can't say that Larson isn't the hottest driver on the circuit, even with Martin Truex's three wins. William Byron has come a long way,
Larson,
but how much of this say Hendrick has a competitive advantage? Obviously, Hendrick Motorsports has a competitive advantage right now. There was the closest people was two laps down outside of position 14. Two laps down. Kyle Larson won by 10 seconds. There's something going on here, guys. There wasn't a Ford. The best Ford finisher was Buescher in ninth. Chris Buescher was the best finishing Ford. But nobody wants to recognize that there is obviously a competitive advantage with the Chevys at these certain tracks. It's the crybaby for years. This manufacturer has more than the other. Well, look, if the stats don't show you from this Sunday's race, I don't know. Ray Charles can see it.
Oh, kind of reminds me of how somebody paints that I work with. He's like Ray Charles.
I thought you worked in the... Thought you were a Pizza Hut general manager.
No, don't ask. Oh my God, I'm about choked on my drink.
Do what?
Yeah.
Don't ask.
Don't ask. It's
oh
like a military. God. Don't ask. Don't tell.
You're gonna have to sign
no,
one of them.
What's that?
No. Don't ask. Don't tell. Lord have mercy. We've got.
I think that Kyle Larson is – I agree with you, Chris. I mean, what is in the water at Hendrick, or better yet, what's in the fuel tank? Because that boy was a rocket ship on rails. I mean, he took all – he took every stage there was, including the final flag, obviously. And
with all the
you said
he was
it.
Still 5 seconds quicker than everybody.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, you have to wonder what the hell was, you know, what's in that car. And I'm sure they tore it down and already, and I'm sure they are looking to hopefully find that same speed when they come back to Talladega, when they go to Talladega in October. But because I would say Charlotte in the fall, but that'll be the Roval, so it won't much matter.
Well, I just don't know how much more of the snooze fest I can take. The other races were great. Johnny Sauter, we were almost, instead of God Bless America, Johnny Sauter was God Rest His Soul, Johnny Sauter. That was a hell of a hit. Wow. And especially the guy that got hit. That was lucky. That was lucky that NASCAR built such strong race cars because he could have went right through the cockpit of that race car. Absolutely just a ravaged vehicle, the truck was, I should say. And the Xfinity race was, you know, it was fun too, but just seemed like a snooze fest over on the Cup side. We've got, I believe, our guests that have,
we do.
Showed up in the studio here.
We do. We'll get to him in 1 second. I want to, because he just sent me a message too, said I'm in the studio. So, Jeff, we'll get to you in 1 second. I was trying to find the points, but, of course, I can't find them quick enough because, you know, old age sets in. And
I got them.
I forget
quick
where
if
they
you need to, Craig.
Yeah, I got them. I got them.
Okay.
I had to find the button. All right. Of course, Denny Hamlin is leading. NASCAR really needs to look into that. Needs to look into that shit. The boy's not won a race yet. I mean, granted, he's got 9 top fives, 11 top tens. He's got no DNFs. He's led 754 laps. But Kyle Larson is 76 behind. He's got 2 wins, 8 top fives, 10 top tens, 1 DNF, and he's led
1,105 laps, and he's won 9 stage wins. William Byron, he's got 557 points. Him and Larson are tied, 76 points each behind. He's got 1 win, 6 top fives, 12 top tens, no DNFs. He's led 190 laps. Chase Elliott, yeah, there's something in the water there over at Hendrick. He's 92 points behind. He's got 1 win, 7 top fives. Top tens is 9, 1 DNF, and he's led 103 laps. Joey Logano is in fifth place with 506 points. MTJ, 486 points. He's 147 points out with 3 wins. That's pretty sad. He's in sixth. Ryan Blaney is in seventh with 482 points. Bushy, Bushy, Bitch Boy calls him Kyle Busch, 776 points. Kevin Harvick, he's got 468 points. He's in ninth. Fred Keselowski is in 10th at 448. Austin Dillon, 407. Alex Bowman is 12th. He's 228 points behind, but he's got 2 wins, so he is locked in. Tyler Reddick, 376 points in 13th. Chris Buescher in 14th. And Christopher Bell, 15th. 16th is Michael McDowell with that 1 win. That's your top 16 in points. I'm still going to say that McDowell's not going to make the final 10 races. I'm just going to throw that out there, and neither is Buescher.
Still got a long way to go.
Yeah, well, we got a short time to get there. And with that being said, long way to go, short time to get there, I want to bring on the guest. I believe it's Dad. I believe Dad is joining us. It is Jeremy calling in. So Jeremy Terrell, the pilot of the 14J rookie sportsman class here in Fonda, New York, with 2 wins in 7 races. Actually, it was quite funny. The week that they were supposed to call in, or the week before they were supposed to call in, they actually won the following week in the first race of the season, and he dominated from flag to flag. Jeremy, how are you, buddy?
Good, yourself?
Good. Hey, just a little side note now. I know you're up a little past your bedtime, so don't be late tomorrow, 7:45. Because if you're late, I don't want to hear nothing about it. So I don't know where Dad's at, but we don't really need him.
He should be calling
him anymore. Oh, he's there. He's there. All right, good. Not that we don't need you, Jeff. I don't want you to think that. Jeremy, tell us how you got started in racing and what the break was, and because you had taken a long break, and you know, I know the details behind it. We're not going to get into that. But, you know, tell us how you got started in racing, where you started, and, you know, what brought you up to the rookie class.
Back when I was a young child, my father brought me actually up to the Kroger Creek Raceway for a go-kart race on a Sunday show, and after the races were over, we walked to the pits. I seen a go-kart that was for sale, and I let Dad know and my grandparents that that's what I wanted to try. Later that week, I came home from school. Dad and my grandparents went out, got me the go-kart. That's how my career was started, and we journeyed up through the go-karts, and I got into the big cars for a couple years. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to. I made a couple bad choices, and Dad told me if I could get back on the right track, do what I had to do, he'd let me get back into a race car, and I've done everything I could to get going in the right direction again, and Dad went out, got a car this year, and that's how we ended up where we are now.
That is awesome. So, Jeff, let me ask you, and I know that I watch your posts every week, and, of course, I know you, and I tell them the same thing you do each week. Jeremy, don't drive over your head. Don't drive over your head. You know, race smart. As a father watching your son go around the track.
I think I lost you for a second.
Yeah, cut out.
I'm here. Can you hear Craig, Jeremy?
Did we lose Craig?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lost Craig.
Yeah, we got you back.
Yeah, it looks like Craig has lost service or something. He's still on the board, guys, but he is not making contact with us. So, Taz, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, I'll jump on board, and when Craig gets back on, he can ask the question. So what have been the struggles so far in terms of when you guys first started? Obviously, you said bad choices led to the break and obviously rebooting. What's been the struggles in terms of the first time around versus, and then, of course, struggles for the reboot?
As in getting the... You can say, Jeremy.
No, go ahead, Dad.
As in getting back into racing? Is that what you mean, and getting used to the big car?
Kind of like what was the struggle? Like what are like some of the things you guys struggled with when you first started out racing, regardless if it was karts or big cars? And then when you guys rebooted, what have been the struggles when you guys tried to do the reboot, I guess you can say?
Well, when we first started in go-karts, we didn't know that much about it, and we bought a cheap chassis, and we weren't doing good. We couldn't figure out why, and then we realized that the chassis that we had wasn't what we needed. And once we got on board with a good chassis, one of our first chassis was a Coyote. We started out with Mormile race engines, and then a couple years into it, when we really got going, we hooked up with Bobby Slack, who now works for Bicknell. Bobby Slack put us in a Slack go-kart. We got with Steve Pavlik for Wizard Race Engines, and that's where it started to take off. We started winning championships. We had three at Kroger Creek, two at Dodge City. We had three King of the Hills, two King of the Dirts, two Montanaro Cups, Northeast Nationals. And then 2003, we won Glen Ridge. And then following that, we won the East Coast Nationals that year in go-karts. Jeremy had a kid. Some other things changed in his life. We took a break for a while. I stayed into racing. I've been with Aaron Burton. I've been with Justin DeMagistris. I've been with Josh Hohenforce for a few years now, helping him out. And Jeremy talked to me about getting back into racing. We thought about it. We went to races together last summer so Jeremy could learn a little bit more about the bigger cars, got into it a little bit more. And then in the off season, we decided to take it to the next level, and we got a car. And thankfully, we were able to get Keith Dwyer to be our crew chief, who's well-known for working with Rocky Warner and such for years, and he's very knowledgeable with these cars. So it's been a pretty easy process for us to get into with his knowledge and his ability to set the cars up.
Jeff, can you hear me now?
I can.
All right, good. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I walked into a different part of the house or what. As a, not as a car owner, but as a father, as you were watching him take the green flag for the first time this year, because I was there in Victory Lane with you guys, what was it like from a parent standpoint? Not a car owner, but a parent.
It feels like your heart's going to come out of your chest. I'm a smoker, I mean, but I think I had 5 cigarettes from the time he lined up to the time he took the green flag. It's nerve-wracking. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, knowing that he'd been out of it for 14 years, well, just about 14 years, and we didn't know what to expect. And like I said, if it wasn't for having Keith Dwyer aboard and his knowledge and expertise with these cars, we probably wouldn't be doing as good as what we're doing at this point.
Now, that first night he took the checkered flag, that was the first race of the season. I could have sworn, I knew I'd seen tears in his eyes, although he may or may not admit it, I don't know. But I'm pretty damn sure I seen him in your eyes.
Yes, we both had him. There was no question about it. It was happy. It was joyful. You know, it was something that we had talked about for years, going to find a speedway and getting a win. And to just be able to get it out of the way that fast was just more exciting and more joyful than what I can explain.
All right, so now since then, since we did that, since you had that first win, you came back 2 weeks ago, and you got your second win of the season. Was that, Jeremy, was that win for you just as special, or was it more special because the circumstances were different? If I remember correctly, and Taz, chime in on this if you remember, you did not have the best starting position in that finale. Am I correct?
No, he started seventh.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was about Mitch Hack.
Right. So this one, you fought for the first one, but that was a flag to flag. The second one, like you said, you started from seventh, so it was, you had to work your way up. So is it safe to say that this one was more special, or it's really hard to say?
I think that was directed to you, Jeremy.
Oh, I got disconnected. I'm sorry.
So your second win of the season, you started seventh in the feature. So was that win more special to you than the first one? And I'm not discounting your first one. Don't get me wrong. But for
no,
you,
it was just as special.
Okay.
To me, they were both just as special to me, knowing just to be able to go out there and accomplish what me and my father have talked about to accomplish ourselves for years now. And I believe that everyone I can get after that will be just as special to me and my father.
Well, I will say this, and then I'm going to turn it over to Chris, who is down in Tumsuba, Mississippi, who's bitching about 70-degree weather, who shouldn't be bitching because I know we wouldn't be. The week that you won your second race, I heard from numerous people about in the pits. So I inadvertently brought it up. Then you go out and you pick up your second win. You know what I'm talking about, right, Jeremy?
Yes.
It was just funny. Taz messages me that night. I was doing an event, and he messaged me and goes, "Hey, Craig, your boy won again." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's awesome." So I was like, I was super, super excited for you. I think that I'm hoping that you got three or four more under, or at least three more under you the rest of the season. We've got a long season up here in state New York, but
I will say this, Jeremy and Jeff, your boy Craig over here ranted the Monday night show right before your second win. And let me tell you, the rant was amazing. I've never heard Craig rant before in my life. So after he ranted,
Jeremy has.
He won right after. And I had to tell Craig if he needed to rant again, that means you needed to win again.
That's coming.
I'll try.
One little,
it's going to come, I hope.
We pick up our new power plant next week. So
that is awesome. Chris, you got anything for this young man?
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, of course, when you look at what's written, the rookie sportsman, it doesn't sound like we're dealing with a rookie driver here, though, Craig. How do you make sure that you're setting yourself up for the next series, and how long are you going to be able to stay in this rookie class?
We're in the rookie
this
class
year?
To August 14th. And then at the end of the year, for the Mohawk 200, we're going to have a new power plant, hopefully have a new chassis and have everything set up, and we're going to go down there and run with the big boys and see if we can qualify and make the big race for the finale of the year.
Wow.
Now, how will that do for you as far as points go?
August 14th is the ending of the points for the rookie division. So
okay,
after
that's
that,
what I thought.
When we race that last race, which is Mohawk Valley 200 weekend, I think it's a 50-lapper for the sportsman race, we're going to have a new power plant, hopefully a new chassis, and we're going to go down and attempt to qualify and run with them. And then next year, we're going to run with them full-time.
I do have a question that comes from one of our guest lists, from one of our listeners, Miss Rebecca, for Jeremy. What is the lesson you think you've learned so far in racing that has impacted your success? And what is next for you as you look forward to finishing out the season?
Having the right people around you, the right equipment, having a good crew chief, which my father mentioned earlier, Keith Dwyer, that helps dramatically. Lessons learned, if you need, is really when you're at the track, you have to pay attention, watch other drivers, see who's doing what, where the lines are. I mean, there's a lot of things involved in improving yourself as a driver and getting around the tracks and different surfaces.
Jeremy, is there any limitations that they put to you guys? Like, do y'all have special springs and shocks you have to use or anything like that? What is the difference between this class and the other sportsman class?
What was that again?
There is no difference.
There is no difference. It's just basically a learning class.
There's no difference between the rookie class and the normal 602s. The only difference is more of experience. You don't want to be inexperienced and then go up and be in their way because they are experienced. They've been doing it. So you start out in the rookie class. You get the time under your belt of being out there and knowing how to be a race around other people. And then when you move up, it's pretty easy. But I wouldn't want to be the guy to move up as a rookie and be in their way.
Right, right.
No, because you're going to get pushed out of the way.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's what we're having a hard, you know, the 602 series that we have here is the lower series to our 604 crates. But we're talking about late models. This is a modified class, right?
Yes.
Yes. So it is a little bit different. I completely understand where the rookie classes. Matter of fact, some of the overflowing classes there on the coast have rookie classes. But sometimes there are limitations to the cars and whatnot that there's a slight rule difference and stuff like that. So glad to know. Now, obviously, racing is a tradition within the family. What's some of the success that you've had, Dad, Jeff?
I raced back when I was younger. I wasn't as good as Jeremy was. I had, you know, some top fives at Albany, Saratoga. But like I said, I didn't have any wins. I never won a race. I just did it more for fun.
All right. What are some of the, Jeremy, what's some of the challenges that you've had this year that you weren't sure you were going to have, being that you've never really raced in this class before? What are some of the challenges that you faced learning curve-wise?
I think one of the biggest ones I've had was adapting to racing Fonda Speedway in a bigger car, different speed. A lot of it was learning the different ways to get around the track with the chassis, speaking better to the crew chief and my father for setups so they knew what was going on and what I needed out of the car. Just overall, a lot of different thinking games that you have to deal with while you're there and other things like that.
Kaz?
In terms of the limited sportsman class, are there certain guys that you kind of had your eye on walking in before you took the track for the season, and now you got certain ones you're kind of eyeballing as the season's progressed in terms of guys maybe you should look out for in terms of maybe intimidation factor kind of, or guys that could be a threat to you?
When we first started, me and Jeremy had this talk. There's a couple guys that have been in a rookie class for a couple years now because, you know, they wanted to get a little bit more seat time. You know, they're ones that have a little bit more experience, ones that you're kind of aiming to beat. You know, you want to be better than the guys that have had a little bit more experience and show that you can do it. At this point, there's nobody that we're, you know, really intimidated by. You know, you can't let anybody get under your skin. You just got to go there every week, keep your mind in the game, concentrate while you're there on racing and racing only, and go out and do the best you can do every week. That's our goal when we leave the garage. We all talk about it, and when we're done at the end of the night, we congratulate each other for, you know, sticking and helping together as a team and progressing nightly.
Is there like a pre-race ritual maybe you guys do? I know some drivers, regardless of what level of racing they had, they have like a pre-race ritual type deal. Like, is there a certain way you guys prep?
As the only thing, I don't know about Jeremy, what he does. The one thing I do that I think has been, you know, helpful for me is I had a brother who had passed away in 2005, and that was right after Jeremy had won in Nationals. And that was one reason, another reason why we were out of racing for a while too, because my brother was always with us for his whole go-kart career. So I always go in the trailer, go to the front, I kneel down and I say a prayer for my brother every week before we race.
Jeremy, same question.
Myself, mainly every night just before the main event, as I'm on the starting line, I'll always sit there and I always say a prayer for my grandmother, my grandfather, my Uncle Billy, hoping that they're all up above watching down on me, going to keep me safe. And just pray for the best that I can get from out of the car and out of myself for the night and do the best that I can.
Do you think, Jeremy, do you think that we're going to talk about the track for a second? Do you think that they will address that big dip in 3 and 4? Or do you think they're just going to let that there?
We hope
honestly,
so.
Brett Deo is a very, very, very intelligent, smart individual when it comes to track prep and getting a track ready. And I am almost 100% positive in my mind that after seeing how everything was going Saturday and drivers talking and things, that Brett will take it into his hands and he will definitely take care of that. That's something that I'm pretty sure will happen.
Yeah, because the week that I was there, opening week, that thing was just, you were going down in there and that right front wheel was just off the ground, you know, big, big amounts. And I'm just thinking to myself, that is going to cause some huge damage. And if it hasn't already, it's definitely gonna. Obviously you got 2 wins this year. Where are you sitting at points currently? I've not seen them posted yet. So
as of the finish of this last Saturday, we are sitting 12 points behind the points leader.
Nice. It's awesome. Chris, what do you got, my man?
So I've got a little bit of a change of subject here, a little bit of a funky question. There's all kinds of crazy things that can happen in a race car. Sometimes it's getting the race car off the hauler. Sometimes we've seen as much as steering wheel come off going down the straightaway. What was the craziest moment for you, Jeremy, that you so far had that you experienced inside the race car?
Would that be considering inside the go-kart or just inside the big cars?
Nah, just whatever good story you got, man. It sounds like we're going to have a go-kart story here.
one of my favorite stories to always tell everybody was it was my second or third weekend ever out in a go-kart. We were running up at Kroger Creek Raceway, and I ended up getting the lead and started overdriving, being young, thinking, oh, I had the lead. Let's go as fast as I can. And winning the race on last lap, I barrel rolled it coming out of turn two. And when I went back in the pits, I was a little scared, didn't want to get back in a go-kart. And I was like, no, Dad, I'm good. I don't want to race no more. Dad's like, oh, come on, you can do it. Hold your head up. And he convinced me to get back in the go-kart, and it took off from that point.
You mentioned about Nationals.
Wow.
Tell us about that.
The Nationals?
Yeah.
Nationals, you run all over. You run all the different states. It's a WKA Nationals for go-karts. So it's a big thing. You go all over the East Coast. You run, you get points, and you show up at tracks, and sometimes you got 40, 50 carts, and 20 are going to start. So, you know, you got to do good, and you have to qualify. If you don't qualify, you're going home. And every race is points. So you have to make every race, you have to qualify, and you have to get there.
For,
all right, what,
one of our biggest accomplishments in go-karts, except for one time we were at Albany Saratoga Speedway for the Northeast Nationals. It was 2001, and we led every single lap in the feature, and a yellow come out, and Jeremy didn't see a piece of metal in the track that came off a cart, and it came up, and it came up behind the cart and knocked his muffler off under a yellow flag with one lap to go. And he finished the race without a muffler and got disqualified because you have to finish with a muffler. Even though the piece of metal took it off, and we lost that trophy. That was probably the most discouraging race we've ever had in a go-kart.
I was just going to ask, did they disqualify you for that?
Wow. Yeah, of course.
All right, Chris, go ahead and ask your question. You have a pretty interesting question.
That was Taz. Taz has the interesting question.
So I know we're kind of a little ahead. I'm asking a question that may be a little bit too far ahead, but I'm going to go ahead and ask anyway. After this year, regardless if you win the limited championship or not, is there plans to possibly move up if you don't win the limited championship, or are you gonna stay put for another year to kind of get more seat
time?
No,
we're absolutely 100% moving up after August 14th. August 14th will be our last race in a limited sportsman. After that, we'll run the last race of the year with the regular sportsman, and when we return in 2022, we'll be in a regular sportsman.
All right.
Is there any plans of racing anywhere else in Fonda's on the break before the 200, or are you guys going to kind of take it easy at that point?
Our goal is August 14th to start. Once we race that last race, we're going to start putting a new car together, the new engine, getting everything together. Our hope is to be able to try to get one or two, maybe Utica Rome or maybe Devil's Bowl or something in before the last race at Fonda so we can shake the car down and make sure that we have it right for Fonda. We just don't want to get it all done and take it down to Fonda and race with these guys without having any time in the seat. So we're hoping to get one or two in. That's our goal.
Very interesting. To close things out, as we get ready to end the interview, we do want to thank you, Jeff, and, of course, Jeremy, for coming on. It sounds like there's big plans as Jeremy is going to finish out this season in the rookie sportsman, but he's going to head to the big boy class, the non-limited class, sportsman modified series, for next season. We'll be pooling for him along the way. So he's got two wins out of seven races. But now, if I serve this correctly, y'all don't really do traveling racing. Why not? What's the deal with that?
My job.
Your job.
My job. I work a lot of hours. I work for General Motors, so I work a lot of hours, and it just interferes at this point. Down the road, things might change a little bit. Hopefully next year things change a little bit. I'd like to be able to race a couple nights a week next year. That's the goal we're shooting for. But this year we just want to finish it out. And before we end this, you know, I just wanted to thank all of our sponsors, you know, Mangino Chevy, ML Bellinger, Greatfoot for sure, Blue Moon Hotel, Dunham Springs, especially Ron's Jerk Shack, best jerky you can get. And you know, I'm sure there's some other ones that I'm not thinking about right now. You know, like Wolf's Customs, Vermont Andy Speed Shop, Fox Shocks. So there's a lot of people that help us. I'd like to thank them. And also like to mention that part of Terrell Racing is Josh Hohenforce, who is now leading the points in the modified division down there. So, you know, him giving us some pointers and helping us out a little bit here and there is a big help, too.
Yes. And your time, Mr. Chair. We look forward to Terrell back on later on in the season or as early as next year. These guys, I tell you what, the guys, Craig, they just showed up and continue to bring some that we get to review and talk to here on the show. Hopefully we've made y'all fans here tonight of Race Chat Live as we continue to grow our audience, and you guys will give us a listen throughout the season and get to know a little bit more about the racing around the Northeastern region. It's certainly an awesome experience to be able to talk to guys like y'all who, you know, really thrive to be great racers in your at your local racetracks. And, you know, the thing that we see so much down here as we're running out of time, we see so many guys that go past their home track to go race somewhere else, and, you know, they're traveler racers and all, but y'all bring it back home, and hopefully y'all get a lot of appreciation from the Fonda race fans that y'all race at home, and don't miss a race. You know, any given weekend, we can watch one of our racers go somewhere else as they track down big shows or our big money races, but, one thing about the Terrell Racing family is they're going to show up and they're going to put on a good show for the fans at Fonda Raceway, Fonda Speedway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully we're talking to you at the end of the year with a championship.
Well,
that is
great.
The goal
sounds
for sure.
Great.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys very much for joining us tonight, like Chris said. Kaz, you got anything in closing for these guys? All right, well, Kaz must – we must have missed Kaz.
All right,
but anyway,
yeah,
I want to thank
you. Thanks for having us on. You guys have a wonderful night, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys at the track.
All right, very good.
Thank
Jeremy,
you.
We'll see you tomorrow
thank
morning.
Thank you for having us on, Craig.
You're welcome, brother, anytime.
All right.
We're going to go to a commercial break real quick. Y'all stand by as we go to more to music, because more is always better.
Are you ready?
Your wedding day. A day that you've envisioned in your mind since you were a child. And now that it's becoming a reality, don't risk your once-in-a-lifetime event to a once-in-a-while amateur you found on Craigslist. The entertainment you choose for your special day can either make or break your celebration. You can never redo your wedding. But you can avoid a costly mistake by hiring a true professional. We make every wedding unforgettable.
When what you need is more than music, what you want is more to music. That's M-O-O-R-E to M-U-S-I-C. More to music. Find More to Music on Facebook. M-O-O-R-E to M-U-S-I-C. Also, moretomusic.com. More to Music specializes in weddings, anniversaries, parties of all kinds, including the one in your backyard where you want some karaoke for all your friends. More to Music. Owner-operator Craig Moore can be found on Facebook right now. More to Music. M-O-O-R-E, the number 2, M-U-S-I-C. More to Music. More to Music. By the way, it's never too early to plan your event. Plus, check out moretomusic.com. Find out how you could...
All right. That's More to Music. Craig Moore, we appreciate... you sponsoring the show and being a part of it as well. So this is going into our dirt track segment that we always do at the top of the second hour. Taz Taylor leads the force here as he begins his rundown of the Northeastern racing going on up in the New York area. Taz Taylor, take it from here, boss.
So before I give one highlight reel I have this week, one thing I do want to mention is in regards to the mower tire group. This past Saturday got postponed to this coming Saturday, reason being for the weather we had. I know some tracks ran on Saturday, but unfortunately Dodge kind of had some saturated grounds and whatnot from the rain, so kind of pushed us back. So we are running this upcoming Saturday for our first event. We are looking at doing a 4 p.m. start time instead of a 2 p.m. start time in terms of gates opening. Run everything as scheduled. That includes the mower tire modifieds. They have a 35-lap $100 to win feature, plus the mower tire predators, the adult class, They have a 30-lap $100 to win feature with a $35 hard charger bonus. And, of course, the novice lower tire predators will have a 12-lap feature, $15 to win. Our title sponsor for the night, and thanks to our other sponsors as well, the big sponsor for the for opening night is More to Music. So, again, thanks you to Craig Moore for being the title sponsor for opening night and making things happen. Also, big thanks to Herrick Racing for helping out Herrick Racing and TNT Designs for helping out with the sponsorship as well for opening night. In terms of the Ron Bachman Memorial Race that we had a couple of years ago, it is back this year for 2021. We are looking at September 4th for that race. We have a 40-lap modified feature for the mowers and a 35-lap adult predator feature as well. A lot of money on the line. We do have lap sponsorships available, $5 each for both of those classes. Our novice predators will also be in action as well. So if anyone wants to sponsor the race or do any lap sponsorships, check out the page Ron Bachman Memorial Race. We'll share that on the Race Chat Live Facebook page. Again, there's a couple sponsors that have stepped up for lap sponsorship. A couple sponsors have stepped up for purse sponsorship for that race. Again, it's September 4th. And without further ado, we'll get into some short track Super Series action. The South Region at New Egypt Speedway that happened last Tuesday. And that was a barn burner of a race. Green flag is out. Brandon Grasso and Max McLaughlin lead them down to the turns 1 and 2 to kick things off. 50 laps is the distance. And Grasso underneath McLaughlin down the backstretch. Side by side, McLaughlin going to look to the outside. He's holding on as everyone charges through turns 3 and 4. Leading lap number 1 is going to be Max McLaughlin by a tire as they come into turn number 1. Move forward to 9 laps complete as Mike Mahaney in 3rd. Looking again underneath Grasso. Grasso holds him off. Go down behind him. But look out for Kid Giddyup. He's up on the I side, going where everyone else isn't. He's moving up to the 5 spot now. In the Superior Remodeling number 44. Off corner number 4. Ryan Godown shuts the door on him. Godown in 4th. And Perego's going to keep on working the outside as he gets around the 88 of Jeff Strunk. Now looks to the outside of Godown. Down the back chute. In the turn number 3, looking for the 4th spot. Perego won the last Short Track Super Series event at Accord, and he's going to try to get the 4th spot. Side by side, nose to tail at that point. 12 laps complete. Perego finally gets by. Go down off corner number 2. Meanwhile, move forward to halfway. 25 laps complete. Perego still being the showman of the field. As we look a little further back, Superman and Stuart Friesen doing battle. A little further back inside the top 10. Meanwhile, Perego gets by the 32 of Grasso. That's another position up for him in turn number 2. 26 laps complete. Move ahead to 38 laps complete. Perego, again, showing the class of the field, trying to work his way through. He's on the 35 of Mahaney. That is the battle for second. And they're working around lap traffic. McLaughlin still holding on to the lead. While Mahaney sits there for a second, getting around more lap traffic, Perego's going to look to the inside this time around. And everyone else is looking on the outside while the lap traffic is on the bottom groove. And McLaughlin, hang on there. Oh, corner number 2 gets a little high into the high groove, jumps the cushion, and he might lose a spot to Mahaney, who's on the bottom. Here comes Perego once again. Perego gets the door shut by Mahaney, and Perego's going to try to look on the bottom of Mahaney. Mahaney shuts the door that time in turn number 2, and here comes Mahaney going underneath McLaughlin here with 9 laps complete. Mahaney trying to get underneath McLaughlin. Perego's going to look to the outside, and Perego says, see ya, thread the needle. He gets a 2-for-1 deal down the front stretch. He's going to try to get around McLaughlin as McLaughlin fights back on the outside. Perego gets his nose in. Mahaney tries to make it 3 wide, but thought better of it. And here comes Mahaney once again, makes a little contact, but can't make the run. Perego keeps the charge going in the Superior Remodeling number 44. with 7 laps complete, he's going to take the white flag as we move forward ahead. Final time, down the backstretch. Hit giddy up of Anthony Perego heading to turns 3 and 4 for the final time. He picks up the Dirty Jersey 7 at New Egypt Speedway, the win for the Short Track Super Series South Region. Mike Mahaney second, Max McLaughlin, your podium finishers in the South Region for the Short Track Super Series. And speaking of Short Track Super Series, the Cajun Region also kicked things off for, I think, race number 3 of their season this past weekend at Chatham Speedway. And it third time's the charm for Caleb Dillard as he is your winner for round number 3. David Forbes, Cody Robbins round out the podium. Greg Dillard and Tommy Rasko round out the top 5. Jimmy McCumis, Keith Badiali, Keith Meek, Thomas Holt, Richard Holt, Joe Boswell, Corey Oak, and Kason Dillard rounded up the cars that took the green flag. Brent Buckley and Mike Trompetal did not take the green flag. They'll get show-up points for those two guys. Caleb Dillard took home the ATP Racing Engines bonus. The Free American Racer tire certificate went to Jimmy McCumis. Tim Bates painting bonus bucks of $50 went to Cody Robbins and Thomas Holt. And the Shed Road Auto Parts hard charger of $50 went to Keith Badiali, going from 13th to 7th. That's all I have for everyone. Just Utica-Rome race is Friday. Saturday is Fonda and Bethel Motor Speedway, I believe they're racing. And go out to your local short tracks. You got to support them. Also, one thing, congrats to Matt Shepard winning career win number 400 at Land of Legends Speedway this past Saturday night. Land of Legends been a historic landmark track for Shepard as he picked up career win number 1 at the track. He's also picked up career wins number 200 and 300, now make it 400. So, again, congrats to Matt Shepard for career win 400 this past Saturday, and he's looking for a career win 401 tonight at Lebanon Valley Speedway for the Super Dirt Car Series.
All right, Taz Taylor, that's for the Northeastern region. Now we're going to get down to the Southeastern region as we look forward to bringing on the Southern Dirt Track Report. We get a special visitation this week, Taz Taylor. And Craig Moore, who I believe I've had on mute. Let's see if he's got that background noise taken care of over there. But, yeah, go, okay, Craig, you're sounding good again. So, yeah, we've got Artie and Jared on from Southern Dirt Track Report. Artie, it's good to finally hear from you, man. What's up?
Not too much. Same old, same old. Just loving the dirt track scene down here in the South, and we're doing it big down here lately.
Well, obviously, Artie's been listening to the show, guys, so he kind of knows how this thing's supposed to go. He's getting ready to give us some updates here. I believe he traveled to Hattiesburg Speedway on Friday night. The big question is where was he on Saturday night? But, Artie, let's hear about Friday night real quick about Hattiesburg Speedway, man.
Oh, Hattiesburg Speedway, never, never, ever. What's that word I'm looking for here? Disappoint. The track has been on fire lately. The Donald Parker and the Parker family really has the track going really good lately. The Pure Streets actually have been putting on the best show of the night. And these guys, a few years ago, I couldn't say that about them, but every week they're getting out there and they are showing that they are an elite class down there at Hattiesburg Speedway.
Yeah, Donald Parker has done a great job this year at getting that track prep up to par. It has been a fast little speedway all year long, and the continued effort that he has put into that place is bar none top class. So were you able to go to – where was the race that Saturday night, Artie? Were you able to go to Pike County?
We went over to Outlaw Speedway for Saturday night racing, and then Sunday night we went to Pike County Speedway. The racing all this whole weekend has just been unbelievable. from Friday to Sunday, just great races, and I will give you a quick update on what's going on with those. On the Pure Street, Michael Williams wins at Hattiesburg, and the street stocks, it was Chris Stegall in that one car. He finishes first in the street stock race, Hattiesburg, Friday night. Chase Holland beat out Kevin Cumbie right there towards the end of the race to win the modified feature. And Jeremy Item, we'll talk about him in a minute, but Jeremy Item wins the Great Lake feature on Friday night. He also wins it Saturday at Jackson and Sunday at Pike County Speedway. So he has three wins in one weekend. Jeremy Item is a machine right now, and I don't know who can catch him.
Right. Well, but I tell you what, one other guy that I heard out of that was Chase Holland. That kid has been turning some heads this year in the modified class. Now, you said you raced on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Saturday night, what happened down at Outlaw Speedway?
Oh, man, Outlaw, they had the sprints come in. Todd Fayard wins the sprint race. There was a sprint that slipped several times. I cannot remember his name. I'm slipping on that. I apologize. When they got to the sprint car, he was unconscious, and he had to be rushed off in an ambulance. Later on, we found out that he's got a few broken bones. He had a concussion, but he should make 100% healthy right back and get back in it. Shane Morgan, he comes in second in that race, and Timmy Thrash came in third in that sprint car. The modified race was a good, good race. Little Ronnie Roberts wins it. Chase Holland come in second, and Ronnie Roberts, he came in third over at Outlaw Speedway. And then the Pure Factory Stock, Shannon Fletcher and James Woods comes in second. And Stephanie Niekase Cooper was battling for that third position with Billy Walker, and she gets past him right at the line. I mean, it was inches, but Stephanie Niekase Cooper takes home that third place in that Pure Stock. And then in the Stinger race, Chris Rogers in a 777, he wins it. And it's crazy because all three Rogers came in 1, 2, and 3. Philip Rogers in the 77 comes in second. And Johnny Rogers in the regular 7, he comes in third. And then Timmy LaFontaine, he wins the Crate Lake model race in that 220 at Outlaw Speedway on Saturday night. And his brother or dad, I'm not sure, but Drew LaFontaine, he comes in second in that race.
And we move over to, I heard Chase Holland's name mentioned again in that thread at Pike County. I mean, at the Outlaw Speedway. What happened Sunday? There was a whole lot of money on the line here. I believe it was a $5,000 to win Mississippi Street Stock Series race. It had a lot of attention going into it. How many cars showed up there for that big event, Artie?
All right, we had 36 registered. The race was really good. Spencer Hughes sat on a pole in that 9 car, and he led all 40 laps, to win the race there, the I-55 shootout. Spencer, it was not an easy task, I can tell you that. At one point, Phil Mouse was side-by-side with him for a few laps. Shelby was right there with him. There were several good cars there. Chad Thrash, he was right there with them. Thrash winds up wrecking the car, but he comes in 24th. But Spencer Hughes dominated the race, but he had to fight off a bunch of people that were side-by-side with him for a lot of laps. But it was fun and exciting to watch him win. It's always fun to watch Spencer Hughes out there racing. He is one of the best.
And has a ride up to the Dream. He's going to be living the Dream at the Dream with PPC Racing. Looking forward to seeing that. It was announced by Dirt on Dirt, which is now Flow Racing. They announced that earlier this week that Spencer Hughes would be representing the great state of Mississippi at the Dream. I believe it's the double Dream this year. I believe they're running two of them. But we look forward to seeing how he does and competes up there in Eldora, as he contends for his for a late model win with the big boys. Artie, what else you got going on?
All right. Well, for the crate race there, Spencer Hughes comes in second, right behind Jeremy Item. But Spencer's got a, you know, he is very fast and anything he drives. I think he could drive a go-kart and win a crate race. That's how fast he is. And Shannon Lee comes in third there. So it's Item, Hughes, and Lee in your top three at the crate race there at Pike County Speedway on Sunday. Also on Sunday night, they run the rookie limited class. Josh Lott borrows the 77 from Cole Venning, and he wins it there in half-a-lap fashion. Michael Wall came in second, and Blade McDaniel come in third. And then Megan Sojourner, she wins the Stinger race, and that was a great, great race. It was a good weekend all the way around. All racing was good this weekend. And I'm just disappointed we didn't have a Monday night track somewhere closer, because I was ready to see some racing tonight as well.
Well, Artie, we want to put you on hold here real quick. We've got Jared Hudson, who's going to give us a rundown about where he was. And hopefully there's an update. We heard that there was possibly a crewman or something run over at Deep South Speedway. Jared, can you fill us in on what happened there?
Yes. So they had the first race of the Deep Southern Shine run, and they had some wild racing all night, but the pure stock class was super, super wild. They had a driver get black flagged, and he didn't want to get off the track, and then they stopped him, and they finally convinced him to try to get off the track, and then he keeps going around the track, and then he throws it in reverse as the tractor is trying to hook him to the hook, and he hits the tractor, and then they finally get him off the track, and he's mad about being black flagged. I guess he thought that he was black flagged, you know, wrongly, and he was all mad and upset and pulled off, and so the track announced that somebody had got run over at the tech shed, and most people thought that was because of him. No, it wasn't him. I found out later one of the Stapleton Volunteer Fire Department, really good fire department, was talking to one of those guys that I know, and he told me, he said, no, what happened was it was somebody on their team was on a four-wheeler and was going too fast around the tech shed and turned too sharp, and had his son on the four-wheeler with him. His son fell off, and the tire fell off they had on the four-wheeler, and his son just bruised his leg real bad. Because at first, people said, oh, somebody got run over and their leg was broken, but that was the wrong story. But either way, he was still hurt, and it wasn't good.
And I respect you for not giving the driver's name, as we don't want to bring praise to people who act like idiots, but definitely a concerning situation going on there at Deep South Speedway, and glad to know that the boy is all right. Sometimes that's why we say, guys, you got to stay calm, you got to keep your composure, because accidents can happen. We've seen Mr. Parker get run over down at Hattiesburg Speedway. Accidents can and will happen, and there's been many other incidents before that happened without testosterone being, elevated. Well, I guess it's always elevated testosterone doing what we do. But so all in all, though, Deep South had a good turnout, right? What was the big show? It was the Moonshine?
So it was it was the Deep Southern Shine run. And I'm not a big fan of alcohol, but it was a decent turnout. And it was sponsored by Murder Creek Distillery. And so what they do is it's similar to the, if anybody remembers the old six-shooter series they did, Flomaton, they did Northwest Florida Speedway, and they did Southern Raceway in Milton.
Right.
They would race all three tracks for, you know, special points, special money. Well, this one's similar, except the winner gets a thing of moonshine at the end of each race. And So different flavors, whatever. And then this series, they pay a little bit more. And they had the vintage is on the series. The vintage cars are my favorite class. They had 12 cars show up, which is very unusual for Deep South, because usually a lot of them don't show up when you have a big race. But I was glad they showed up. They put on a great show. Had several wrecks in it, but it was good. And then they had the Crate 604s, and let's say the Pure Stocks, and the Street Stocks. And then they had the Modifieds, but the Modifieds are not on the Shine Run series schedule. They just added them as an extra class to let them race for regular points. And so the Street Stocks was a very good race. Tommy Lowry in the 27 won it. The vintage race was super awesome with the 52 of J.D. Fuquay winning it. And he won by two or three car lengths. He made it look easy. But second place, Kyle Kichler in the 4 red car, he was really awesome. Kyle coming second. And the Wild Child, Ricky Haugen, broke. And Ricky's usually really, really good there. But it seems like a black cat crosses the road every time Ricky goes to Deep South, because something always breaks, and I hate it for him. And then, I mean, you know, if you believe in that kind of stuff, which I don't, but, and then let's see what else. Let's see, they had the Pure Stocks was won by, oh, excuse me, they had the Factory Stocks on schedule too. And the Factory Stocks was won, let me make sure, Chad Robinson, and the 10 car won the Factory Stocks. And let me go back and look at the Pure Stock winner here. And they had the Stingers on the schedule, too. I just mostly forgot about that. The Stinger cars, let's see who won that one. I believe that was the 41 of, let me look at this Big South Speedway here. Oh, Robert Barber. Robert Barber won the 41. Brandon Seidner finished second in the 42. And then my buddy Cameron Cannell finished third. Great job, Cameron Cannell, in the 43. And let's see. Oh, the 82 won the Pure Stock race. That is Tanner Palmer. I like Tanner.
Yeah, yeah.
Super good guy. So I've been telling Tanner, I said, look, man, I was like, you got he was thinking about giving up racing, had his car for sale, everything.
Right.
And I told him, I said, man, don't sell that car, man. Get you a win, you'll be back in it. And he's actually been racing the past few races, and he finally got him a win, which was super, super awesome. And
somebody
I hate it for Levi Donaldson.
Though. Yeah, Levi Donaldson had issues, right?
He sure did. And Levi Donaldson, I'm telling you, Levi Donaldson led the whole entire race. That's the first time I've seen him race in over a year. And Levi was spanking the field. And then he had mechanical issues. And when he did, Tanner Palmer took the lead. And usually the three fastest cars at Deep South are Wesley King in the 99, Derek Kane Long in the 5, and then Tanner Palmer are usually your top three. And this night, Brian Berger showed up in the 121. And Brian Berger, woo, he was flying. He finished second. It was super awesome to see Brian Berger finish second. So they had some really good racing. And the 604s, Bo Slade won by half a lap. I mean, it was – he just kicked butt and took names. Second place was a 24 of I can't even think of his name now. But it was Stephen Jernigan. Stephen Jernigan finished second. And the 604s are really, really fast at Deep South.
Wow. So I think we're having some issues with our streaming line. I believe it gave us a 60-second warning. If you guys are listening to us live, you may have to wait until the podcast comes out to finish listening to the show. I hate that, guys. I'm sorry it was set up. But we were supposed to have had it extended out, and it's showing on my end that we still have an hour of stream time left. But I believe we may be losing our stream here in just a few seconds, but like I said, you will be able to finish the show up on our podcast there, as it gives us a 10-second warning. So as we continue the show, even as we lose our live listeners, So you guys have partnershiped and brought the Southern Dirt Track Report. We'll bring Artie back on real quick. Artie, tell us about what got you started here, the Southern Dirt Track Report, what y'all do, and as we give you about another 3 or 4 minutes here.
Well, I started the Southern Dirt Track Report back in, I believe it was 15, LA 36, Hickory, St. Tammany, whatever you want to call it, had shut down, and I kind of made it a mission for me to find somebody to buy it and start a promotion page, promote any kind of track in itself. So I started it like that. We continue to push. We found a guy to take it over to lease it for 2 years. It's been closed now for about 3 years, and that's pretty much how it started. It started to never have another track closed in the South, and try to support and help all the tracks around in the area.
Right. So you've been able to assemble quite a team there. You've got Jared Hudson, who kind of takes care of one end, and you take care of the other end. What's the plans with the future of Southern Dirt Track Report?
We have big plans. It all comes down to trying to get people to help us out. We have a great team. There's a lot of more people than just me and Jared on the team. But we are really looking for some more volunteers because we are really wanting to push. Basically, what I want to do is I want to cover every track eventually from I-20 south in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama. So we are trying to establish that, and we're getting closer. It's going to be good, I'm telling you that.
Where can you find all your stuff at there, Artie?
So you can check us out on Facebook, Southern Dirt Track Report. We got a YouTube, Southern Dirt Track Report. We also got a Snapchat and Instagram, Southern Dirt Track Report. Y'all come check it out, and it's going to be live all the time.
All right. Now, Jared, do you have any cool stories or anything you want to share with us? What did you think about the Coca-Cola 600? Did you watch the Indy 500?
I watched both of them, and I enjoyed both. I've been an IndyCar fan and NASCAR fan since I was a wee little lad. But let's see, I enjoyed the IndyCar because, well, Tony Kanaan's my favorite driver of all time, next to Michael Andretti. And I wanted Tony Kanaan to win so bad because he's won it before. And I also really – there's a lot of drivers I really like. And another one is Elio Castroneves. And Elio's 46 years old and was driving for Michael Schenck at Meyer Schenck Racing. And to see how excited he was, that's how excited I am when I'm going to win a race. If I ever win me a race in a dirt track car, I'm going to be that excited. I'm going to flip a biscuit.
Right. He was definitely Helio. I believe this was unexpected. And, Michael Schenck, more known for his sports cars than he is an Indy car. But they say that he started from the bottom. He scrapped the team together and survived. And now you can say that Michael Schenck and Meyer Schenck Racing is an Indy 500 winner. No plans for this team to chase a championship or anything like that. Was it surprising to see a one-off come in and dominate this race the way that Helio did?
It was to me because, it wasn't a surprise that he won because, you could put him, it's like Artie was talking about earlier, you can put him in a go-kart and he'll beat the best Indy car out there. And so, Helio could win the race backwards blindfolded. And at his age, just like what he said, he was so excited in his interview. He said, even the old guys can win it. And, Michael Schenck, they kept saying it's a small team, and Michael Schenck was like, he kind of didn't want to hear the word small team because
right.
they got a decent budget. So I guess he wanted it to be known as a little bit bigger team. But still, that's pretty cool to see somebody that's not as big as all these other big mega teams that's got three or four cars. And I really like, I'll tell you who else I really like is Ed Carpenter, Ed Carpenter Racing. Ed Carpenter finished top five, and I was tickled to death.
He worked for that too.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. So,
and then the Coke 600 was awesome.
Colton Herta, I believe that's the guy that I'm pulling for on the Indy side.
Yes.
He's a third year guy. A lot of it was in the beginning of the Indy 500 was to talk about the youth, but the old skeezer himself, Helio Castroneves, pulls it off for his fourth Indy 500 win. Now, what about Kyle Larson's dominance there at the Coca-Cola 600? Is he not? We've yet to have the argument that Kyle Larson is the hottest thing in racing right now.
Oh man, Kyle! Look, Kyle Larson. It does not matter. You could put him in a 1982 Chevrolet bomber car, and put him out there with them cup cars, and he'll put them two laps down. That's just how.
Okay.
It don't matter what you put him in. You could put him in a tractor, and he's gonna put them guys a lap down. He just knows his racing. I mean, he won his first super late model race this year. He's won sprint cars, midget races, NASCAR Cup Series, just about every kind of car imaginable. He's won it, and I'd like to see him go across America and just try out every single class of car just to win it.
I know we could get him in a street stock down here, and he would outrun the best. Guys, we want to thank y'all for coming on, Artie and Jared. We look forward to y'all's segments each week. Y'all are more than welcome to continue to follow us on the show here as we get ready to give our rundown for Sonoma and our weekly picks.
Hey.
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Hey, I just want to say one more thing real quick. I will be in the booth once again at Little Dega Speedway this Saturday night. It's a kart track in Turkey Creek, Louisiana, and I'm returning to the booth to announce a night of racing there, so it's going to be exciting and fun.
All right, good deal. And we have a guy, Taz Taylor. He's as aspiring to be given the chance to call a race as well. I think it's the coolest thing in the world. I know that I'm nowhere near the best in the business, but I've got 10 years under my belt.
Shoot,
I really enjoy what I'm doing. And I hope to continue to do it. And I love to see new guys, coming in and getting the opportunity, because I was a nobody that come in from the street and didn't know anything. And if I can accomplish it, then I know others can too and be even better than I am at it.
I mean, Chris is the Ned Jarrett of dirt track racing.
Oh, gentlemen, Ned, I hear you. Thank you so much. I try to be as articulate as Eli Gold, but unfortunately, a lot of times it comes out I come up with the same old jokes. I used to pick on old Billy James for always having the same old jokes, but when you've been calling races for 10 years, sometimes it does start all to sound the same. So, they had the world championship. As we get ready to move into this third segment, I really need to mention that Tyler Burgess won the world championship for the 602 Sportsman class, that big race up at Magnolia. No doubt Tyler Burgess had a fast race car, beat some I think it was 51 people, 51 cars attempted to qualify or be in that race there for the world championship sportsman late model race at the Magnolia Motor Speedway this past weekend. But now we'll move on into our final segment, our fourth segment, as we get ready to talk about this upcoming race this weekend at Sonoma, the dominance of Hendrick Motorsports. I believe, as we are getting to the prime of the season, it looks like Hendrick is separating themselves. When you have all four cars who have got a victory this season, it looks like Hendrick is really hitting on all cylinders, on all fours, I should say. So what about – who was that dropped? Okay, that was Artie. We appreciate you being on there, buddy. Hush. You made me lose my train of thought. Jeez Louise. Craig,
can
I do
the schedule quick, Chris?
Yeah, do the schedule.
All right, so our schedule this week for NASCAR racing, kick things off Wednesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. is practice, and at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Both of these on FS1 will be the eNASCAR Pro Invitational iRacing Series, and that'll be on the brand new Chicago Street Course. That'll be interesting to see because I know Chicago might be having a street race in the near future for NASCAR. So could be a glimpse of what's to come, maybe not, who knows. But further on down, Friday, June 4th at 6 p.m. Eastern will be the Dawn 150 at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course for the ARCA Menards Series on FS1 and MRN Radio. On Saturday, June 5th at 1 p.m. Eastern will be the Xfinity Series B&L Transport 170 at Mid-Ohio. Oh, Mid-Ohio. I thought they would be at Sonoma, but whatever. Mid-Ohio, but still road course racing. That'll be on FS1 and MRN. And the NASCAR Cup Series on Sunday, June 6th at 4 p.m. Eastern will be the Toyota Save Mart 350 at Sonoma Raceway on FS1 and PRN Radio.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that Chase Elliott's probably the favorite here. It's interesting. Is A.J. Allmendinger in this race? And what road ringers are in this race? Do you have a entry list?
I'm working on pulling that up here right now, if I can find it. At least I thought I did. I don't think I have one, unless Bob Pockers posted one. So I'm going to have to rely on Bob Pockers. Hopefully he's got something for me here. But, yeah, Mid-Ohio and Sonoma. We're not at the same track for both major series this week.
Yeah, and I guess the truck series is off. So it's going to be Mid-Ohio, which is one of my favorite road courses.
All right,
I would much rather have
entry list
at Mid-Ohio than Sonoma. Sonoma's mostly always a pull away from the leader or pull away from the group type of race. But go ahead, Taz.
For Cup Series, nothing really kind of stands out. Scott Heckert will be in the LiveFast McLeod number 78. Ben Rhodes will be driving the Spire 77 this week. And I believe that's about it. Cody Ware in the 51, Smithley in the 53. Only 37 entries for Sonoma this week. And then for the Xfinity, there are 42 entries for the Xfinity race at Mid-Ohio. The DNQs, we are looking at the 13 and the 77 cars. Looking at possibly getting the 31 of Jordan Anderson Racing being into this race because Josh Berry's behind the wheel and he's won a race this year. Looking at trying to find what we got here. Preston Pardis, I don't know if that's one to look out for. He's in the DGM 90 car. Trying to look at Matt Jaskel in a 66 MBM machine. Trying to look at other guys that may be in here. Alex Labella would be a bad one to go with to think about. Chris,
there's not
going to
be much
piloting.
Swapping because the distance between the tracks are too far away.
Chris Wright will be piloting the Sam Hunt Racing 26. And I think that might be it in terms of... Oh, no, Miguel Paluto in the Junior Motorsports number 8 this week. And I believe that's
surprising
it.
Not to see John Hunter Nemechek racing somewhere at Mid-Ohio in an Xfinity car, being that John Hunter has road course experience.
The only car that doesn't have a driver for this race that's on the entry list is the Bassett Racing number 77. But according to Bob Pockers, he believes that the 77 will not be fielded, and neither will be the MBM 13 of David Starr due to the fact that Josh Berry has a win and will be piloting the Jordan Anderson 31 car.
Well, that's sad because the 13 car is a Carl Long Motorsports car, and just hate to see them cut out of a race. But Josh Berry, you know, getting a chance to race someplace that he originally wasn't scheduled for. So kudos to Josh Berry for picking up a ride for this week. You know, it's road course racing. It could be, you know, it could be anything. Of course, there's always your favorite road ringers on the Cup side. Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch has even been pretty good on the road course here of late. What are some other drivers that you think we need to look for there, Taz?
For the Cup side or Xfinity?
Yeah, for the Cup side. What are some guys that may stand out?
For the Cup side, we all know Chase Elliott, how he's been on road courses. Some other guys to look out for, we've mentioned his name earlier. We know where he's at. Question is, can he get the job done on a road course? Going to be Kyle Larson. That could be one to look out for. I mean, shoot, when we ran at COTA, he was up front for a good portion of that race towards the end. I would say some other ones that could play spoiler here. I would say Harvick, Truex, or a couple of them. Some people might put Bell on there due to his road course win at Daytona. It'd be interesting to see. I don't really see any other ones that stick out. Maybe a Ryan Blaney, per se. I don't see. McDowell could be up front in the 34 car. He usually runs well, pretty decent at road courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised I don't see a colleague car under the entry list this week.
Yeah, it may be because they're at two separate entities and they haven't purchased a cup hauler or something yet. But, I mean, you know, it's a small race team. You know, you don't really expect them to be at two different places, especially the distance between Mid-Ohio and Sonoma. So not a big surprise there, but I do believe that there won't be any testing or anything, right? Like, we're just going racing Sunday.
Yep, we're going right into it. According to Pockris, he's got projected lineups if he figured them out correctly. We'll look at Xfinity at Mid-Ohio. We're looking at Austin Cindric and Ty Gibbs on the front row. The two Burtons will make up row two. Allgaier and Brandon Brown in row three. Brandon Jones and Jeremy Clements in row four. And Riley Herbst, Justin Haley round out the top 10. Hemric and Allmendinger in row six. Gregson, Myatt Snyder, row seven. Annette LeBay, row eight. Vargas, Moffitt, row nine. Buford and Castle make up the top 20. Ware and Little in row 11. Sieg and Williams, row 12. Martin and Jeffrey Earnhardt, row 13. Lally and Ellis in row 14. Peluto, Howard round out the top 30. Josh Berry and Mills, Wright, Gaskell, Kyle Weatherman, White, Graff, Curry, Pardis, and Galding will make up the 40-car field. If Pockris did that right, that's what we're going to be looking at. And for the Cup side at Sonoma, looking at Larson and Elliott, the front row, Byron and Hamlin, row two, Kyle Busch, Austin Dillon, row three, Bowman and Harvick, row four, BK and Reddick, the top 10. Blaney, Buescher in row 6. Logano, Stenhouse in row 7. Bubba and Suarez, row 8. Suarez could be another one that'll be running up towards the front for Trackhouse 99, I believe. Row 9 will be Dibby and Eric Jones. Running out the top 20 is Truex and Bell. And you have McDowell, LaJoy, Custer, Newman, Briscoe, Almirola, Priest, Alfredo, Chastain, and Kurt Busch making up the top 30. Ben Rhodes, Davison, Quinhouse, Smithley, Heckert, Balicki, and Ware to make up the field.
Are we underestimating Buescher? And that's one of the other names that I heard there I think Matty D maybe. Are we underestimating those
Ryan
guys?
Priest, maybe. Ryan Priest, maybe. He's had some good showings for not being a chartered car for JTG.
Right. Craig, you there? Haven't heard from him in a minute.
I think he might have backed out. He said he's still getting feedback.
Yeah.
But I think...
Did you leave us his pick?
I believe Suarez could be one. We didn't really mention him as a guy to kind of be up there. And he's been a guy that's been running consistent top 20, maybe top 15.
Right. Yeah, Suarez is having a hell of a year. No doubt that team headed in the right direction. This is kind of one of those races where you expect some of the backmarker teams to show up. Of course, I didn't hear really any real good mention about Bubba Wallace. So not expecting any improvements on that behalf, I would say. I feel like Keselowski is going to show up. I feel like being coming off of, you know, and I'm glad that there's people like Ryan Blaney in this world. I really am. Because Ryan Blaney basically made sure that we're not going to speculate anymore for the rest of the year of where Brad Keselowski is going. Brad Keselowski is going to an ownership role with Roush Fenway Racing, and we know this because of Ryan Blaney. He's like, look, I wish the guy a lot of luck. I know he's always wanted to be in an ownership. So he wouldn't have said all this stuff. And, yeah, Brad Keselowski can't say anything. Penske can't say anything. But Ryan Blaney took the bullet there and basically cleared us of the speculation side of things. And I think running off of what BK has been able to solidify for next year, it's all about what he can do this year and how he can finish up at Penske Racing. And you have to look at Helio Castroneves as your fearless leader in all this, BK, because, look, I mean, the guy got put out of Penske Racing. He come back, and he got him an Indy 500 win. There's nothing bigger than an Indy 500 win in IndyCar, of course. Some would argue there's nothing bigger, period, in motorsports racing than an Indy 500 win. So definitely not the end of the road for Brad Keselowski, and it should almost be an upticker for him as he can solidify where he's going at the end of the season and not really have to worry about it. Just focus on racing. He's a great road course racer. He's going to be one of my favorites this weekend, especially on the Cup side. And I believe after Taz Taylor, I'll give my pick of who I think is going to win.
All right. Well, to start with picks, as far as I know of, Craig has picked Chase Elliott for the Cup, and he's going with his favorite guy in Xfinity, the Gator Man, Justin Allgaier. For Sonoma, I looked at a bunch of names. Chase Elliott was one of them to look at. I also was thinking maybe Ryan Blaney to sneak one in this time around. I've also looked at McDowell a little bit, not going to lie. Kyle Busch was another one. And then, of course, I've looked maybe Buescher, Suarez, maybe Christopher Bell to kind of ring, to make a ringer, pun completely intended, by the way. I've even thought about putting an RCR car in there, but where I'm going,
yeah,
maybe way out of left field pick, and I think he might put a spark in the team. I'm gonna ride with Happy Harvick on this one. He's won at Sonoma before, and we know Harvick has won at Sonoma. The one season when he was a top guy to win a championship for, I think it was 2018, I think. I just remember that it was basically the Truex Larson show for most of the regular season. And Harvick was always a top contender to win, just couldn't put it in victory lane. And he won at Sonoma. I really think that he could be the guy. So I'm going with what we could see this year. Harvick can put a spark in the victory lane for Cup and put a spark in SHR.
Yeah, that's a solid pick. Taz Taylor, really, and it makes perfect sense. This being the track that, hey, Kevin Harvick can circle on the calendar and say, I've got the skill to win this race. If I lose this race, this one's on me. It doesn't take, you know, a special aero package and all that to win a road course race. If Kevin Harvick shows up in full Kevin Harvick fashion, he should be one of the favorites to take the win in this race.
And my Xfinity pick, well, he's a road course ringer. I feel like he was gypped at Daytona Road Course. I'm going easy. I'm going to keep it simple. The Dinger.
Oh, my God. So you put me up against the wall there. I want to gain points on you. It's going to be hard, you know. First of all, Ms. Lee says that she's bummed she can't hear the picks because our show has already ended on that side. But she'll be able to listen to the replay. Ms. Lee has picked Cindric for the Xfinity win and Buescher, surprisingly, for the Cup win, as she believes Buescher will separate himself from the class of the field and bring home his second career Cup win at Sonoma. Very interesting pick there. Craig, we're waiting on your picks.
Craig is Chase Elliott and Allgaier.
Chase Elliott.
And Allgaier.
And Allgaier. And I believe my picks for this weekend on the Cup side, I've already given it away. I wondered if anybody would take the lead there. Fred Keselowski is my guy. I figured that this will be the weekend that he can bring in another win for Penske that will continue his the most wins in the organization. He's got to add a few more there because Ryan Blaney, of course, and Joey Logano, looks like they're going to be solidified within the organization for a very long time. And on the Xfinity side, I have to follow Lee here. Dinger is my first pick. But, Austin Cindric, this is the type of racetrack that he loves. And we'll see how he does. This is a very, very hard road course racetrack here. This is not the typical up and groove and all that. Mid-Ohio is its own beast, and any time that you've played it on NASCAR Heat or any simulation, you'll find out that that this is one of the hardest tracks on the circuit. So Cindric will break through, and he'll get the Xfinity win. We do have Artie still on. Artie, would you like to give your picks just for fun? Who do you have for Saturday and Sunday to win?
I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski, of course, on Sunday. I really do like the way he drives, and he's a good road courser, so I'm going to go with him.
Do you have a pick for Saturday, Artie?
No, I don't really watch the little guys, shall we say. I do watch the Cup, but
right. Too busy chasing dirt tracks on Saturday to worry about those.
Yeah.
No problem with that. Of course, AJ Allmendinger should be everybody's favorite. But, you know, sometimes the dinger can beat itself, and I have to go for what I feel is going to bring me the most points. That's why I'm sticking with Cindric here. Speaking of points, if you can give us a quick breakdown, real quick, Taz Taylor, on the point system that we have for our fantasy group here. I believe I am leading the Cup series, am I not? And I think I've got quite a lead there. Can you give us a quick rundown before we let everybody go?
Yeah, actually, Chris, I gained a little bit on you after this week. Not very much, but a little bit. I know last week I was like 30 or 40 points off, and this week I gained a little bit on you. So overall, meaning all three series, Chris, you lead with 535. I'm behind in second with 519. Craig with 494. But Jason and Miss Lee had big points days after this week. They're coming with 486 and 482. And I think at one point, Miss Lee was actually in fourth after one of the I don't remember if it was truck or Xfinity, but she was in fourth at one point, and so Miss Lee might, she says she jinxed her peoples, but she might be outsmarting some of us, and she started a little later than everyone else.
Yeah, so yeah, I can definitely see a late run coming by Miss Lee. Definitely.
But of course, Craig has 5 correct picks. Miss Lee got 1 this weekend, putting her up to 4. I still have 3. Chris has 1. Unfortunately, Mr. CJ has the big old goose egg on, but next to his name.
And isn't that something? I'm leading in points, but I've gotten only 1 correct pick all season long. It's really, it's about the points, man. It's about who you think is going to finish up there and bring you the most, not necessarily who's going to win the race. That is the that's the way that I've been playing this game anyway.
Those correct picks could play factor if there's a tie in points, though. So.
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. As a matter of fact, I can see them as bonus points later on. Thank you guys for being a part of the show. I hate that we had to put Craig there on hold. Obviously, it's a little bit of interference coming through the radio waves, and we want to keep this as easy to listen to as possible for our fans. We appreciate all the extra listeners. We hate that the podcast, the live viewing only went an hour and a half. Hopefully you'll stay tuned and re-listen to the podcast, as we've got great things to tell about our podcast, because you can find it on iHeartRadio. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on Spotify. And you can find it right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network just by clicking the link that we share on the Facebook page. You can check out 110, the 110Nation .com for all of the 110 Nation news and stuff coming out. Of course, we are a full-fledged sports station. You can listen to our parent company and Mr. CJ Sports. He has weekly shows on as well that are part of the podcast group here at the 110 Nation. Of course, we are Race Chat Live with Chris, Craig, and Taz. We want to thank you guys for being a part of the show. A big shout out to Mr. Artie. Artie, you're going to be with us, and you and Jared are going to kind of share some seat time there for the rest of this season. Artie, we need to start talking about kind of getting you guys on your own show and producing it here at the 110 Nation. How does that sound, man?
Definitely, man. We're always into that. We've always been wanting to start a podcast for the last couple of years, so.
All right. Well, we'll work out the details and try to get that available and out, and look for big things to happen as we integrate and bring in the people around us. That's the one thing that's helped us grow to where it is already. Of course, you know, back when it was Racing with Big Sweat, we had a big audience. We had a lot of people listening. The 110 Nation had about 4 shows going at one time. We had stats, Hot Laps with Stats. We had the 110 Nation Sports Show. We had Racing with Big Sweat that turned into Race Chat Live. Just unfortunately, we also had John Izzo, who has passed away. He was our hockey guy. So we've had a little bit of downsizing, but we're on our way back up, and it's taken listeners and group efforts to bring people in and get to know how cool this show is. Obviously, it must be a pretty cool show. Artie has a lot to do, and he's spent the last few weeks listening to our show, so it must be pretty damn entertaining. We look forward to having Artie on more and helping them create a podcast through our network as well. Getting him and Jared onto a show together is going to be absolutely cool and a lot of fun. But Taz Taylor, do you have anything that you would like to close with? And kudos to Craig Moore for not working in the restaurant business anymore. You've got to tell me what happened. I promise you I'll only tell a few of my friends. So if you can send me a message and let me know. If it was a Clarence Thomas type thing, I guess, you know, you could just say yeah, but... Yeah, that's generally what happens in the restaurant business. But if not, Taz, is there anything you want to talk about before we let everybody go? Yeah, you had some things to talk about real quick, right? We didn't say anything about the SRX series. We haven't said anything about TNT Design.
Hey, I was getting there. Hey, you cut me off. I was getting there. Not next week we don't have a guest, but... we can do, because we were going to try to get Alan Bestwick to come on, and the reason why we were trying to get him on is because this upcoming Saturday marks 1 week from the start of the new SRX series. So to kind of fill in that guest half hour that we usually have, we're going to try to do a half hour preview of the new SRX series that'll start in, like I said, 1 week from Saturday at Stafford Motor Speedway in Connecticut, which I'll be there live for. Can't wait. I'm excited. So get ready to load up on SRX for a half hour next week. You can always find me at TNT Designs for any design stuff you need, whether if it's a Facebook page, web page, stickers, t-shirt designs, iRacing stuff, whatever you need, get it done there. Get in contact with me there. I'm on Facebook, and we'll go from there. I'll be at Dodge City Speedway this Saturday, 4 p.m. gates open, 5 p.m. hot laps, and I believe racing's at 6 with our mower modified adult predators and novice predators. I might be wrong at the times, but I couldn't. But I think those are it. Again, big thank you to everyone listening. This has been the Caution Flag of Radio, Chris Creighton, DJ Music Man Craig Moore. I'm the Tasmanian Devil Flaggers, Taz Taylor. Saying good night. We'll see you same time, same place, right here on Blog Talk Radio with Chat Live.
Yeah, thank you for listening, guys. As we give our outro, our favorite old song. Just a good old boy.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve. Planting the hill. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Just a good old boy. Wouldn't change if they could. Fighting the system like a two modern day Robin Hood.
All right, y'all have a good night. We'll see you next week.